Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Young people, you did such a great job. I love hearing and listening to you sing. I love watching you sing because you just give it all. I mean, you rear back, and like we say sometimes around here, let her rip, tater chip. And so you did that. And I have to be honest with you, for the first couple of years coming to Beacon Baptist Church, I actually did not know that Hallelujah, Praise You the Lord had a melody to it. I thought when you sang that song, you just shouted out and screamed out as much as you could. And I didn't know there was actually a melody line to be followed until a couple years later. But you all did such a fantastic job, and praise the Lord for that. And I just love it. I love it. My wife and I are honored to have a part in serving the families here in Junior Church, and we have a wonderful time being able to do that. And we only have them for such a short time, a precious time, and we're grateful to have a time that we can spend with our children here at the church. And thank you for entrusting them to us. We don't take it for granted. We love the opportunity to work week in and week out with the children and different ministries there. So thank you so much for that. If you're a visitor here tonight, we're so thrilled and grateful that you're here. And as I say, anytime I have the opportunity to preach, please, please, please come back when Pastor is behind the pulpit. I know that you won't be disappointed, but come back when he's here. But I am thrilled to have the opportunity to preach tonight. Matthew chapter number 28 in your Bibles. How many of you had a lot of food this afternoon and you are in a kind of a food coma right now? You may not hear anything I say. That's all right. I'll be brief tonight. And Matthew chapter 28, and while you're turning there, I also want to give a thank you to everybody that helped yesterday at the 3-on-3 basketball tournament. And what a great time together. Just seeing everybody. It's one of the things I've been praying is that the dots would be connected between some of the Bible clubs that we have, the public school ministry, the Tuesday night basketball in our church. And I think yesterday that happened a little bit. There are a couple of fellas, Ton and Twan, twins. They're a handful, but they go to Jupiter High School, and they come to Tuesday night basketball with us. And then they were in the tournament yesterday along with some other students from the school there. And I appreciate your prayers for those young men. And it'd be just wonderful to see them come to Christ as their Savior. And just thank you again for all the workers that had a part in doing that. You can't do something like that without a whole lot of people doing a whole lot of things. And so Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 1, if you're there, would you say amen? Amen. If you're about to fall asleep, would you say, oh me? Okay, good. All right. Wonderful. All right. Matthew chapter number 28, verse number 1, the Bible says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified." I love verse number 6. "He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay." Let's pray together tonight, may we? Father, we need your help tonight. I need you. I pray that you take the word of God that doesn't return void. Feed us tonight from your word. I pray that you'd encourage those that need encouragement. Lord, that you'd speak to those who need a little bit of a push to serve you and to seek your face. I pray that you'd help me, Lord. I need you tonight. I pray that you'd fill me with your spirit, that I'd be a spirit-filled preacher preaching to spirit-filled listeners. Thank you, Lord God, tonight that the tomb is empty. We can go and find where Muhammad is. We can go and find where Confucius is, but Jesus, the tomb is empty. And we thank you so much because he lives, we get to live also. I pray that you bless this time. May it be a special time in your word tonight. Thank you for the children, the young people that sang this evening. Oh Lord, I pray that they would give their lives to you, to live for you all the days of their life. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to give kind of a devotional thought tonight. I'll be brief, I promise. But people seek for a lot of things, don't they? this world is full of different types of pursuits, people trying to find the next dollar that they can make. They search for treasures that they think are important and valuable to them. They go looking, they're always searching, they're always looking, they're always pursuing something of value that will help them, something that will fill an empty void in their life. People search for all manner of things. They're searching for the perfect golf swing. Amen? They're searching for the best barbecue. Maybe that's not you all, but they search and they look and they try to find different things. They're always looking, always searching, trying to get the next thing. As a matter of fact, just last week, I'm going to tell on myself just a little bit. Some of you heard me talk about this recently, but I've become somewhat of a person that collects basketball shoes. I just love the game of basketball. And lately, in the last couple of years, I've become what's called a sneakerhead. And I was on social media, and across my social media page came these basketball shoes. And when I saw them and I said, man alive, I would really like to get those basketball shoes. And I showed a picture of them to my wife, and she just kind of rolled her eyes. You don't need another pair of basketball shoes, just like she doesn't need another Stanley Cup. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm going to be in trouble for that one just a little while here. Pastor, can I stay at your house tonight? But I saw these basketball shoes. They were the Kobe 8 Proto, what the Kobe. They were so cool. The colorway, they were bright. And some of you might think I'm a little weird for this, and you think I'm weird for other reasons too, but that's okay. There were two different color shoes. Like, you're supposed to wear the same socks, and why would you wear two different color shoes? But they were awesome. And so I began to research, how could I procure these basketball shoes? There's a guy by us that owns a sneaker shop. We're on a first-name basis. And I said, Frankie, how can I get these basketball shoes? Because you see, it's not like you can just go to Champs at the mall, or you can't just order them online because they're so rare. You had to go through a process. They had something like an online raffle. You have to put your name in at a certain time and just hope that you can get these basketball shoes. And it was about 1 in 2,000 chance that you could get these basketball shoes. And so I went on YouTube. I was looking at everything that I could do to give me a better chance to buy those shoes. And I put a profile picture so Nike would know that I wasn't some bot trying to just buy up everything. I even got my wife in on the deal. I said, Maddie! And she goes, yes. Can you download this app and give me another chance to get these basketball shoes? Guess what she did? I roll. Okay. The draw or the raffle was last Sunday at 10 o'clock during Sunday school. And so we got here for Sunday school and my wife's phone buzzed. It's time to enter your name. We were a little late. I have to admit, I'm telling on myself today. Just a few minutes late to Sunday school, but my wife put her name in, and she sent it away. And I put my name in the app on my phone, and I sent it away. And so there's only 10 minutes that you have, a short window in which you can put your name in to earn these basketball shoes, to hopefully win the raffle. And so 10 minutes came and went. We were sitting in Brother Mike's Sunday school class, the college and career. And after about 15 minutes, my wife's phone buzzed again. And she looked down at it, and I was like, and she kind of gave me a little elbow, and she told me to look at the notification. I didn't get it from her phone. Thanks a lot. And I promise, I told Brother Mike this, I was paying attention. I wasn't really worrying about it. Either you get them or you don't. But after Sunday school was over, I went into my office and I shut the door. And I pulled out my phone to check the Nike sneakers app, and I didn't get them. We got to save some money, though, at least. That's true. And just in case you're wondering, I'm a size 13, and you can get them for an enormous markup on eBay. That's what I'm just going to say there. 13 and a half if they have it. Oh, sorry. A couple months ago, I was preaching about bagel bites, and somebody made bagel bites, so you never know, okay? But people seek for things. They place a priority, they make time, they move heaven and earth to try to do what it is they prioritize. And I moved some things around so I could try to get some dumb basketball shoe because it's something that I wanted. Here in the text, we find Mary, two Marys actually, but they prioritize not something but someone. They prioritized the Lord Jesus, and we know in the timeline that Jesus had been crucified, Jesus had been killed, they put him on the cross, they platted a crown of thorns upon his head, they beat him with a cat of nine tails. He died on that cross. He didn't pass out, he didn't go into a coma, he died on the cross, so they buried him, they put him in a borrowed tomb. In chapter 28 in verse number 1, and we want to take a look at it. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Here it was, they thinking that Jesus was dead, Jesus was gone. They were still going to the sepulcher. They were still going to serve Jesus. They were seeking him. They were going after him. They made room for what was important for them. They prioritized the Lord Jesus, even though in their minds, at that point in time, they thought Jesus was dead. Think about this lady, Mary Magdalene. She's a special lady in the scripture. She had been destitute. We're first introduced to Mary Magdalene in Luke chapter number 8. The Bible says, "And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and a certain woman, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance." We're introduced to this lady by the name of Mary Magdalene, and she has a testimony before Jesus. By the way, tonight, everybody has a testimony that is before Jesus. BC, before Christ. And before Christ, before Mary had a run-in with the Lord Jesus, her life was wrecked. Her life was destitute. The Bible talks about how she had seven devils in her. She was hurting and she was helping, and she was destitute. Every Christian has a before Jesus testimony. But then we find, by way of introduction today, Mary had been delivered. Every Christian has a before Christ testimony. And every Christian has a how they came to know Christ as their Savior in their testimony. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians verse number 5, or chapter 5 and verse number 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." I want you to know tonight that Mary met the Lord Jesus and everything changed. Her sins were forgiven and she lived in newness of life. I want you to know tonight, maybe you're here just to hear the children sing. Maybe you're watching online tonight. But whatever the case is, if you're not sure that you're a Christian, you can be delivered this very evening. You can be saved. Think about what the Bible says. "For he," talking about God, "hath made him," talking about Jesus, "to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." You know, I was talking to the kids yesterday at the 3-on-3 tournament about the gospel. "For God so loved the world," as the children just sang a moment ago, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." I told the kids yesterday, you can put your name where it says whosoever. The Bible also says, "For all have sinned," that's anything I think, say, or do that displeases God. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And our sin is going to separate us from God forever in a place called hell. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." There's bad news. Our sin separates us from God, but there's good news. Jesus died to pay for your sins and mine. But God commendeth. In other words, he showed beyond a shadow of doubt, he proved his love, but God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You can be saved tonight. The Bible says, "For whosoever," again, you can put your name in that word, "whosoever, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord," not might be, not if I go to the right church, not if I get dunked in a baptismal tank, not if I do enough good things, but the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You can be saved tonight. Jesus died to pay for your sins. We talk about Easter and he was resurrected from the dead. Jesus dying on the cross was the down payment for our sin. And when Jesus rose up from the dead, that was God the Father saying, payment accepted. You can be saved tonight. Mary had a run-in with Jesus and her life was never the same. She started to follow Jesus. She started to serve Jesus. She started to hang around Jesus. She started to be around, and everything that was going on, she saw all that that Jesus did, and she was with him. Mary spent a time in her life. Mary Magdalene was destitute, but then she had been delivered. But then we find a time of discouragement. Mark chapter 16, verse number 1, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre, the rising of the sun, and said among themselves, "Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they had looked, they saw the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. Mary was trying to access the Lord Jesus. He was the one that changed her life. He was the one that she served. He was the one that she followed. And now she could not even get to him because the stone was there. Think about it. She'd been changed by the Lord Jesus. God had changed her life in a miraculous way, and she'd been following him. She knew Jesus really well, but now he's gone. In her mind's eye, Jesus is dead. And this is a time of discouragement. This is a time of uncertainty. She doesn't know what's going to happen next, but we find the rest of the story. Mary was determined to get to Jesus. In her sorrow, she went to the tomb despite every obstacle, despite every perception of what other people might have thought of her. Any roadblock, she was determined to get to the Lord Jesus. Mary's testimony gives us five observations tonight on this thought, just a devotional thought tonight, seeking Jesus. In other words, getting to Jesus. I want you to consider the first thing tonight. Number one, Mary sought Jesus early. Mary sought Jesus early. Look back in our text, verse number one, the Bible says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre." In every account that we have of the resurrection story, we find that it was always before dawn. It was early in the morning or very early in the morning. As a matter of fact, the Bible says again in Mark chapter 16, "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and the Mary, mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him, and very early in the morning." Luke chapter number 24 and verse number 1, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre." John chapter 20 and verse number 1, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene," the Bible says, "early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre." In other words, Mary was there early. And I'm talking about when we come to Jesus, it's a good practice to seek him early. And I'm not just talking about getting up early and seeking Jesus, although that's a good practice to rise up early before you've gone through your day, before you're hit with everything that flies your way during the day. It's good to get up and to seek Jesus early. But I'm talking about getting to Jesus first, getting to Jesus when nothing else has happened in your day, getting up, seeking him early. It denotes a time of day. Mary physically got up before dawn and made her way to the tomb. The Bible says in Psalm 63 and verse 1, "O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I've seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee." Psalm 5 and verse 3, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up." Psalm 143 and verse number 7, "Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust." It was Charles Spurgeon that once said, "We ought to see the face of God every morning before we see the face of man." E.M. Bounds once said, "The early morning hour should be dedicated to praise. Do not the birds set us an example." How many of you are not morning people? I'm not a morning person. My dog is not a morning person. But we make time and move things around for the things that are important to us. They sought Jesus early. There's a second application when we talk about this word early. Seeking Jesus early also not denotes physically seeking him early, but it also denotes a second application in the time of life. So the children, they just got through singing, and they did a wonderful job singing. And let me challenge you. This challenge is for you. While you're a child, while you're a kid, while you're a teenager, don't wait to say yes to Jesus. Say yes early in your life. Say yes today. Say yes now. You don't have to have a testimony where you say, well, I grew up in a Christian home, and when I was in my 20s, I kind of went my own way, but then I came back to the Lord. You don't have to have that testimony. And thank the Lord for those who have that testimony. They've come back to the Lord. But all I'm saying is right now, while you're a child, while you're young, while you're a teenager, while you're a kid, you could say yes to Jesus. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Seek him early. You don't have to wait until you're in high school. You don't have to wait till you're in college. You can seek him today. I'm reminded of a girl that we had in our church when we were in New Jersey. Her name was Ella. And she was an elementary school student. And we were talking about sharing Jesus with people in junior church. And her mom came to Maddie and I and said, "You're not going to believe what little Ella did." I said, uh-oh, what did she do? At her public school, during recess, she started her own Jesus club. Instead of going and playing during recess, the children would gather around a tree during recess and they would just talk about Jesus. Listen, you don't have to be an old person to serve Jesus, to live for Jesus, to love Jesus. As a child, you can seek him early. That's the challenge for you today. Seek him early. Mary, they sought Jesus early. Secondly, tonight, they sought Jesus boldly. They sought him early, they sought him boldly. I've got to hurry. Matthew chapter number 28, verse number 2. "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men." Okay? In a parallel passage, John chapter 20, and verse number 11, the Bible says, "But Mary stood without the sepulcher." Think about the scene for just a moment. It's early in the morning. The sun not yet raised. As Mary is going to the tomb, there's an earthquake. That's unusual. As Mary gets to the tomb, the angel of the Lord descends. And the Bible says that his countenance is like lightning. That might be a little bit concerning. The Bible says that the raiment is white as snow. That might be something that she's never really seen. And then if that doesn't be all, the keepers that were there by the tomb had fallen down and acted like they were dead because they were afraid of the God of heaven. Yet the Bible says that Mary didn't flee. She didn't get up out of there. The Bible says that she stood. And it's a reminder that seeking Jesus, that we can come boldly. We can come to him. We can seek him. "Yet Mary stood," Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in our time of need." Think about the opportunity that we have to seek Jesus by way of application. We think about how God, he is holy, and we are sinners. He's the God of heaven. We are poor and needy. Yet we are welcome into his presence by the blood of Christ to come boldly before the throne. Boldly before the throne gives us the idea that we can come into the presence of God and say anything that needs to be said. It's literally like the military term, may I speak freely. And when you come to Jesus, you can speak freely. He knows it all anyway. But Mary, they came boldly to the sepulcher that day, and they stood when everybody else was afraid. Quickly tonight, they sought Jesus early. They sought Jesus boldly. Number three tonight, Mary sought Jesus faithfully. Mary sought Jesus faithfully. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 1 again. "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the" what? "To see the sepulcher." This is an amazing application to me, because the sepulcher was a place where there was death. The sepulcher was a place where there was the end, but Mary stood there. And this is interesting to me. Mary stood by a Jesus that she thought was dead. We should be willing and able to stand by a Jesus we know to be alive. She went to the tomb expecting to serve Jesus that she thought was dead. We should be willing to serve a Jesus that we know to be alive. She ended up seeking Jesus when there was fear around her, when there was confusion. She sought Jesus when there was dire circumstances. It's a reminder that no matter what comes into our life, we ought to seek Jesus. We ought to be anchored to the Lord Jesus and His Word. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." They sought Jesus faithfully. Number four tonight, they sought Jesus earnestly. Over in John chapter number 20, you don't have to turn there for time's sake, but Mary, the Bible says in John 20 verse 11, "But Mary stood without the sepulcher," and here's what the Bible says, "weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher." And when's the last time we sought Jesus with passion and earnestly with tears? Sometimes I feel like in my own Christian life, it was so haphazard. We go into the we pray and we seek God, and it's like, I need this and that and the other thing, and I need those basketball shoes, whatever the case might be. But when we seek Jesus, it's time for us to slow down, be still, and know that I am God, the Bible says. She sought Jesus earnestly with tears, with passion, and on purpose. This was something that she did that was on purpose. Quickly tonight, Mary sought Jesus early. Mary sought Jesus boldly. They sought Jesus faithfully. Mary sought Jesus earnestly. But lastly tonight, Mary sought Jesus only. Mary sought Jesus only. Look at the verse, what it says, Matthew chapter 28. We're wrapping up. Verse number 2, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow, and for fear of the keepers did shake and became as dead men." And here's what the angel said. Notice what it says. "And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified." Think about their trip to the tomb that morning. They could have been distracted by the keepers. They could have been distracted by the angel of the Lord. But there was one reason and one reason only for them going to that grave that day, and it was to see and to serve Jesus. It was always and only about the Lord Jesus. I'm reminded what the Apostle Paul says, Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 7, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." It's always about Jesus. He has the priority. He has the preeminence. It's all about Him. I've said often, I said it yesterday to the teenagers playing ball, Jesus isn't a part of the big picture. He is the big picture. Colossians chapter 3, Paul says, "Christ who is our life." What does Jesus mean to you today? Is He everything? Is He just something that you do on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights, or is He everything? A couple of months ago, I was watching reels on social media, and I came across the story behind the hymn that we sing, "I've Decided to Follow Jesus." I've never heard the hymn history behind it. And I'll be quite honest with you tonight, as I was watching the reel, I thought it was a little bit sensational. Sometimes preachers will do that. They'll add and embellish things to make it more impactful. And I thought to myself, wow, the details of this story, there's no way that it could be true. And I didn't really think much about it. Wow, what a story. But then the same video came across my feed a couple of weeks later, and I decided to study it out, to see, hey, is this actually true? You know, you can't believe everything you read and see on the internet. And so I typed in and started looking. Is the story behind I've decided to follow Jesus, did it really happen the way that this man said it did? And sure enough, it did. The hymn, I've Decided to Follow Jesus, came from Northeast India. After the Welsh revival, sending missionaries out all over the world, a host of them went to India to preach the gospel, to start churches. And after the Welsh revival, this missionary went to Northeast India and endured severe persecution. But after preaching the gospel for some time, he saw his first converts come to Christ in a particularly brutal village in northern Indian province of Assam. A husband, a wife with their two children professed faith in Christ and were baptized. Hey, listen, you preach the gospel, it's not you that does the saving, it's Jesus. But think about this, Assam and its surrounding provinces was located in one of the most oppressive forms of Hinduism, a place where the caste system was entrenched and there were where headhunters ruled. The provinces often prided themselves on the hostile reaction they gave to foreigners. The village leaders heard about this family that had come to Christ, this Indian family that had come to Christ. After they got saved, they started telling everybody about Jesus. By the way, once you get saved, you should want to tell everybody about Jesus. Amen. And this family had come to Christ. The Welsh missionary had given them the gospel, and they were his first converts. They were excited. They were on fire for Christ. They were telling everybody about Jesus. And finally, the village leaders had enough, brought this family, two boys, a husband and a wife, before the village. And the leader of the village went to the husband and said, "You need to renounce Christ or something bad is going to happen to your family." And witnesses say, this is where we get the words from the famous hymn, I've Decided to Follow Jesus. The father of that family looked the village leader in the face and said, "I've decided to follow Jesus and there's no turning back." It was at that time that the village leader commanded some of his minions to take the life of the two boys. Right there in front of the whole village, in front of the father and the mother. Can you imagine? The village leader went to the man, again, the father, and he said, "You need to renounce Christ or your wife, she's next." The man looked at the village leader and said, "Though no one's going with me, but I still will follow." The village leader stepped back in unbelief, told his minions, "Take the life of his wife." There this man stood by himself. "Will you renounce Christ?" And the witnesses around, the man said something to the effect of this, "The cross before me and the world behind me. I have decided to follow Jesus and there's no turning back." And with that, the village leader commanded his people to take the father's life. The Welsh missionary had gone back, preaching the gospel, still found his way back to that village where this event had taken place, to find that soon after that family was killed before all the village, one by one, those villagers and even the village leader that commanded their death had come to Christ. Jesus meant everything to that family of four. They've decided to follow Jesus. How are we tonight in seeking Jesus? How are we tonight in following Jesus? How are we tonight in our relationship to Christ? Have we said, "I've decided to follow Jesus, there's no turning back"? Mary and those that were with her sought Jesus early. They sought Jesus boldly. They sought Jesus faithfully. They sought Jesus earnestly and passionately. And they sought Jesus only. Is Christ your life, or is he just a part of your life? As we think about the resurrection of Christ, if Jesus isn't who he said he is, then nothing really matters, right? But Jesus is who he said he is. So nothing else matters. So let's commit afresh and anew tonight to follow, to seek, to serve, to live for Jesus. And God's people said, Amen.